Many thanks indeed to Sean and Terry for the music this morning, and also to Matthew for his welcome. It's my pleasure to be here for the month. I've enjoyed coming, I must say. Good to see a good number out this morning. Sometimes when I'm away preaching places, people say to me, was there many there? Or had you a big crowd? Or had you a low crowd? Or this, that, and the other thing. I don't mind how many's there, to tell you the truth. The most important thing is that the Lord's there. So we thank you for your attendance and for your encouragement. Let's just have a little word of prayer together. Father, we thank you for these great hymns. We thank you, Lord, for all the truths contained in them. We pray that, Lord, that you would bless them to our souls. And Father, we turn now to your word. We thank you for it. We thank you for the encouragement we get from it, for the correction at times. And Father, we thank you, Father, for the fact that it's your word. And we pray that you would speak to each one of us this morning. Pray that we might hear not just the voice of a preacher, but that we might hear the voice of the Lord. So continue with us now, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Now I want to turn again to Job, the book of Job, and we're turning this morning to Job chapter 13. Job chapter 13, and you remember how the book of Job opens with the details that are given about how that Job was a great man, and all the trials that came into his life. We looked in our first message at the testimony of Job, that God was able to say to Satan, you know, there's none like him on all the earth, a perfect and an upright man. And then you remember in our second morning, we looked at the troubler of Job, because Satan came in before the Lord to make accusations about Job. And you remember the trouble that he brought into Job's life when his flocks and his farm and his flesh was touched. And we looked at the troubler. And remember, friends, that when you have a good testimony, then you'll have trouble with the devil. The third week, last week, we looked at the trials of Job. Looked a little bit deeper at the trials that came into Job's life, and we tried to learn what lessons we could from them. Remember, we learned a lesson about the permissive will of God and the directive will of God. We learned about the providential care of God. We learned about the purpose behind the trials. And we learned about, even in the midst of all the trials, the opportunities that Job had to praise God and to prove God. And that was what we were looking at last week. Now, this morning we want to look at the trust of Job. When you start going through the book of Job, the first couple of chapters all about his trials and his testimony and all the rest of it. In chapter 3 it says, after this Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. That's a very interesting chapter to read. And then we find that Job had three friends, or so-called friends, and these friends came to Job in his trials and in his dark days. The first one was Eliphaz, and we find him in chapter 4 and chapter 5, and we see there what he said to Job. Chapter 6 and chapter 7, we see there what Job replied to this friend. Job answered and said. When we come to chapter 8, we find there that his friend called Baldad the Shumite, he began to speak to Job and tell Job what he thought and all the rest of it. And it certainly wasn't anything to encourage Job. When we come to chapter 9, we find that Job answered him. And in those chapters, chapter 9 and 10, we see that what Job had to say to this so-called friend. When we come to chapter 11, we see his third friend, and his third friend was Zophar, the Nathanite, and he began to speak and tell Job what he thought and all the rest of it, and of course he was no more encouraging to Job as the other two friends were. And in chapter 12, it says, Job answered and said, and so in chapter 12 into 13, Job begins to answer him. We want to read from chapter 13 this morning, a few verses. It says, Lo, mine eyes have seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. O that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Hear now my reasoning, and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God, and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that ye should search you out, or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock him? He will surely reprove you if you do secretly accept persons. Shall not his excellency make you afraid, and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like the ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I make my flesh, or take my flesh in my teeth, and put my life in my hand? And then he says this, Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Just want to take that verse this morning that came from the lips of Job in his dark and terrible days. And we see here the trust of Job. We've looked at his testimony and his troubler and his trials. Job says, Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. When we look at the text, we see here the extremity of Job's condition, though he slay me. You know, we looked last week at his weakness, at his severe trials that Job was asked to endure, and we saw that some of them were personal, his family, and parental, and some of them were satanical and emotional and physical. He was covered with boils from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. My, they were monumental, they were satanical. And Job goes to the very extreme here, to the very worst that could happen to him. And the very worst that could happen to any of us is death. And he says, though he slay me, the extremity of his condition. And we see as we look at the verse, the intensity of his confidence. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. You know, Job says, even in these storms and sorrows and sicknesses, if they take me to the grave, I still trust in God. I still believe in the purposes and plans of God. I still trust in the ways and the wisdom of God. I still trust in the goodness and grace of God. My Job says, no matter how bad things get, if they get to the very worst scenario, he says, I'll still trust in God. So we see here the extremity of Job's condition and the intensity of his confidence, and we see here the sincerity of Job's consistency, because it says here in verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain my own ways before him. And what Job is saying here is this, you know, in spite of all the trials and all the troubles that have come upon me, Job says, I will maintain my own ways before me. And what he's saying, you know, I'll still live the way I've always lived. Even when things are difficult, I'll still believe in what I've always believed. I'll still act in a way in which I've always acted. So as we read through this story about Job, we see, in spite of all the trials and troubles that Job went through, and all the face of discouragement from his own friends and even from his own wife, we see Job trusting God in the midst of all these things. And as we look at Job trusting God this morning, the first thing we see here is Job trusting God in the storm. Trusting God in the storm. You know, we read through this story, everything was fine at the beginning of the story. We read about the flocks that Job had, the substance he had. Everything was fine. That's how the story begins. Job had the best of both worlds. He was materially well off, and he was spiritually living close to God. He was a lover of God, and God could speak highly of Job, and God had blessed him with all this material prosperity. God blessed him with a family of 7 sons and 3 daughters. And you know, friends, everything was going well in Job's life. But then the day came when things started to go wrong. And that's like life, isn't it? Things don't always go well. And we find that things started to go wrong. Things started to go wrong in the business. He lost his flocks. He lost his farm. The oxen, the asses, the sheep, the camels, you would almost lose count of them. Job had so many of them, but neither were taken from him. Things were going wrong. The whole business was wiped out by the attack of Satan. And we find this out, that not only did things go wrong in the business, but things started to go wrong in the family. In chapter 1, we find that he lost his 7 sons and 3 daughters. And it says down in 18 of chapter 1, while he was speaking, the sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alive to tell thee. Things started to go wrong in the family. Terrible day, a tragedy happened in Job's family. And we find that things not only started to go wrong in the business, and things not only started to go wrong in the family, but things started to go wrong in the body. His body. Because ill health came to Job. He became sick. In chapter 2 and verse 7 it reads, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot onto his crown. You can imagine what that would be like. You never hear much in these days about people having boils. I remember when I was a young fellow growing up at home, it was a common thing for people to have boils. Maybe we're better nourished today, or maybe we're better treated today, or something. But a boil is a very sore thing. I remember having a boil when I was a wee fellow, about 8 or 9, a boil inside my eyelid. And it was the most painful thing. It had to be lanced by the doctor, but you never hear of that today. Very rarely do you hear about people having boils. But in my young day, it was a common thing. And Job was covered from the sole of his feet to his crown with sore boils. Things was going wrong in the body. But we find out, even when things were going wrong in the business, and things were going wrong in the family, and things were going wrong in the body, that Job was still trusting God. He was still trusting God, friends, when these things all began to go wrong. We find when we look back in chapter 1, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. He was able to worship in the midst of all this, and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." My dear friends, we see Job's trust in God. We see from this that he had faith. He had faith in the sovereignty of God. He had faith in the reality of God. And he had faith in the ability of God. And you know, as I said at the beginning, you know, that's just what life is like. We all have to go through the storms of life. Yay. Things don't always go well. Now we think of that story that we read about over in the Acts of the Apostles in Acts chapter 27. If you just keep your finger in there at Job and come over with me to Acts chapter 27. And we see here that Paul is a prisoner and he's being brought to Rome. Or in verse 13 the sea is calm. In verse 14 the storm is raging. And that's just like life. All it needs is a phone call. All it needs is a knock at the door. All it needs is a letter through the letterbox to turn your world upside down. My dear friends, that's what life is like. And we find here that they did all that they could to save the ship. They lightened the ship. The tempest came. They cast out with their hands the tackling of the ship. Verse 20, neither sun nor stars and many days appeared. And then it says in verse 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, to have gained this harm and loss. Now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God have given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I believe God, that enchantment shall not be even as it was told." My, here's Paul, and he was trusting God. He says, "I believe God." God had given Paul his word. My dear friends, the situation can change. We can find ourselves as we travel through life and the south wind can be blowing softly. But then the storm comes. There's times when we're in the storm. So many storms can come our way. There's the storm of fear. There's the storm of doubt. There's the storm of temptation. There's the storm of depression that many people suffer from in this day and age in which you and I live. There's the storm of stress, and many people are in the storm of stress. There's the storm of loneliness, the storm of unemployment, the storm of grief, the storm of pressure. And we could go on this morning. Wonder, dear brother and sister in Christ, this morning, when the storm is raging in your life, can you trust God in the storm? My friends, can you trust him? I wonder, can we trust God in the storm, the sovereignty of God and the reality of God and the ability of God and the wisdom of God and the love of God? So we see here Job trusting God in the storm. And then we see Job trusting God in sorrow. You know, there was sorrow in all Job's losses, but I'm sure that the greatest sorrow of all was that concerning his own family. And we find Job in his sorrows, and in the midst of his sorrows, as he got these coffins lined up on the lawn, and he said, you know, he bowed his head, and he said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, sometimes I look at that and say to myself, could I do that? What a thing to be able to do. You never imagine that you'll bury your children. You think that your children will bury you. But here was his whole family, and then all be taken away. And this man was able to bow down and worship. Said, the Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Dear friends, this morning, remember this. No matter what we have in life, God gave us it. God gave us it. Remember, we came into this world with nothing. And we leave it with nothing. Naked came I into this world, naked shall I return thither, we read. God gave us. So if God has given us the things we have, God has the right to take them from us. God has the right. One thinks of the sorrows that come our way. My dear friends, sometimes the sorrows of death come. One thing about sorrow, my, it came to the home of Bethany. You remember when Mary and Martha lived in Bethany and Jesus would frequent their home. And the message came that Lazarus was dead, and or Lazarus was sick, and then Lazarus died. There's the storm of sorrow. And the storm of sorrow visits every home and every family. There's not a family in this city of Belfast that will not get their turn when it comes to sorrow and bereavement. We all love our dear ones, but friends, sometimes our dear ones are taken from us. The storm of sorrow comes. Or it can be the storm of disappointment. Sometimes disappointment comes. Maybe someone has applied for a job and they've had a good interview and things have gone well, and they're expecting to get that job, and they get the letter, and somebody else got it. Some young people studying for exams, and they're heading for different grades, and you know, they miss the grades. Disappointment. A storm of defeat. Sometimes we're defeated by sin. Peter let the Lord down and he went out and wept bitterly. The sorrow of desolation in Psalm 102. The psalmist speaks about desolation. I wonder, in our sorrows, do we trust God? I wonder, can we trust God in our sorrows, friends? Yes. Have we the faith to believe that he's the all-wise God who never makes a mistake and never causes a needless tear? Job trusting God in his sorrow. Job trusting God, not only in his sorrow, but trusting God in the storm. And then we see Job trusting God in sickness. In chapter 2, we read about how the devil came in before the Lord, and he said to the Lord, you know, if you touch his bone, if you touch his health, he will curse you to your face. What will a man not give my for his own flesh. And you remember how that God allowed Job to touch Job and to cover him with these sore boils. And it says in verse 6 and 7 here, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he's in thy hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. What a terrible sickness Job had to endure. And you know, the subject of sickness is a very interesting one when you turn to the Word of God. You know, in chapter 2 we read about how the devil came in before the Lord and the Lord allowed him to touch Job. And there's many different kinds of sickness. Of course, there's natural sickness. I've got a little bit of a cold this morning. That's natural sickness. That's natural sickness. Maybe you get a sore back or something like that. It's natural sickness. And then, of course, the other Sunday morning, when we were thinking about the trials of Job, we saw that there's essential sickness. You remember that Paul had a thorn in the flesh? And God gave him that thorn in the flesh for a particular purpose. God allowed him to have that thorn in the flesh, which many of us believe was his diminishing eyesight, to keep him humble. He needed it. And when he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, would you take this from me? The Lord said, no, but I'll give you grace to endure it. I'll give you grace to bear it, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's essential sickness. In the book of Proverbs, we read about what I've called functional sickness. It says in chapter 17, 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Why, dear friends, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. And so sometimes when people are sick and ill, by their very attitude of mind can be a help to them to get over the sickness. And of course, we read about judicial sickness. You remember when Paul was writing to the Corinthians and he was teaching them about the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, and he was teaching them about all that the table meant and what was the meaning of it and about the emblems and all the rest of it. And then Paul said this to them. He said in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. It seems there were some in the church of Corinth, and they were abusing the Lord's table. They weren't behaving at the Lord's table the way they should have. They weren't going to the Lord's table with the proper motive in mind to remember the Lord. And Paul warned them about it. He says, let a man examine himself. He says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. So that's judicial. You know, brethren and sisters, this morning, when we're sick, we're weak. Weak physically, weak mentally, weak emotionally, and even in some cases spiritually. Even in his weakness, even in his sickness, in the midst of his sickness, Job trusted God. That's what he's saying here in this text. Though he slay me. He says, if this sickness means that I'm dying, I'll trust God even to the grave. I'll trust him even to the grave. Job trusted God when he was at a low ebb. At a low ebb. He left himself in God's hands. Remember this about the story of Job, that when all these things were going on in the heavens between Satan and God, and Satan was accusing Job of this, that, and the other thing, Job didn't know a thing that was going on. He didn't know what was going on. But his faith was strong enough to know that whatever was going on, or whatever was wrong, that God was in control. That God cared for him. That God loved him. Dear friends, this morning, as we travel through life, there'll always be storms. There'll be good days and good times. There'll always be ups and downs. There'll be times when the south wind blows softly, but then maybe not so far down the road, the storm will come. There'll be sorrows, there'll be sickness. Oh, that we might have trust in God, even as Job had. A simple faith, a strong faith. May we be able to say, like Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, and I will maintain mine own ways before him. Says, no matter what I'm going through, I'll trust in God. I'll continue to believe what I've always believed. I'll continue to serve God the way I've always served him. I'll continue to act and to live the way I've always done. I trust that God will bless his word to our hearts, that we learn from Job, that we'll have this steadfast faith. Because remember, friends, this morning, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And may our faith this morning and our trust in him, in all these different situations and circumstances of life, may it be well pleasing in his sight.